It was Tuesday.
Well, I'm not Captain Kirk Tux.
Too bad. You die.
You said it.
At your service, ma'am.
Ouch. I could use pants.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
Hello, and welcome to Reset and Rewind, the video game movie podcast, where we chronologically discuss every video game movie ever. I'm Doug, and extinction, more like, it stinks shit.
Yeah, I think we were thinking the same thing on that one, Doug.
I'm here with Ben.
Hey, happy to be back. It's been too long.
And Kevin.
It was a solid joke.
Thank you. And Paul.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Much better movie.
Oh my god. I so wish I was watching that movie instead of this one.
Me too.
We are talking about Resident Evil Extinction from 2007, and we would all prefer probably to be extinct and watch this film again.
Yeah, I don't understand much of why this movie even came out. Or what it's supposed to be based on in the Resident Evil universe.
I think someone just wanted to make a Mad Max movie, and they made a Resident Evil version of that.
A bad Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I get going off, like, I think sometimes going away from the normal plot of a game. Like, I have to say, like, an example of doing it well when you go away from the plot is, like, that first episode of Halo they put out on Paramount is actually solid, but they didn't. Mm. It didn't connect at all. They didn't really do it like... Because the game is mostly plotless for the most part. You're just shooting friggin' aliens.
Agreed.
But this is an example of doing that, but, like, much worse.
Totally. I still don't understand. This movie came out, like, a year after Resident Evil 4.
A great game.
And Resident Evil 4, it's like... a complete departure from Resident Evil 4, because in Resident Evil 4 they reference that the whole world hasn't been overrun by zombies, but in this it's just completely overrun. So I don't know, it completely departs. Yeah.
So in this case, like, I think the previous movie was we talked about Resident Evil 3, right? Because there were some similarities between the two, but the villain here has no ties to any Resident Evil game, right? He's not Nemesis. He's not Lord Sadler, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's not referenced, right? There is no tie-in with the games other than Claire Redfield, right?
Well, and Wesker, too.
Oh, Wesker. Oh, get the hell out of here. That wasn't Wesker. I don't know who that guy was.
You know who he kind of looked like, this Wesker character? He looked like the love child of Eminem and Max Headroom.
That's pretty accurate.
I always thought Wesker was a cheesy character, right? But he was semi-interesting, sort of seemed kind of cool, wore his sunglasses inside all the time. That's fine. This guy, this Wesker, was so lame. The lamest. he made it seem extremely uncool wearing those sunglasses. I hated everything about it.
It's like that. Remember that old YouTube video of that kid who threw that party who refused to take off his sunglasses?
Yes, that was him.
Him grown up.
Except
same guy.
Why don't you take your glasses off so we can see you, and then apologize to your neighbors for frightening them?
Nah, I'll leave these on. Nah, I like them.
Except he, I think every scene that Wesker was in, he wasn't actually there. He was like a hologram or something.
It was like a Zoom hologram thing.
Yeah.
Up until the end. And then she zoomed in, hologrammed to him. He's dumb. Wesker in the games is pretty cool, like you said. He's got like that, you know, he's got the best villain music, I think, in any game. Really awesome.
Da-da-da, Wesker, da-da-da, Wesker. Is that a song?
That is his song, definitely. Yes.
Doug, I don't know how you ever could emulate a song so well.
That's every character's song in Resident Evil. Just says Resident their Evil name, like, yeah. Leon! Yeah, Leon!
Oh. But he's just, he's got too big of a moon face in this movie. And then also he just is like just a tiny bit too heavy.
What is a moon face? What is this moon face that you're talking about?
His face is just very round, face. Is what I'm saying.
He's got a very round
very, face. Very round face. Yeah.
I mean, I was picturing the moon from Majora's Mask.
Definitely. She's like, ah! An angry face.
Coming at you slowly.
Look up Mac Tonight, the McDonald's commercial. It's this really creepy moon playing the piano, and that's what I was thinking of.
Was that an old McDonald's commercial? Because some of those old ones were the creepiest commercials I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I think it was from the 80s.
Ronald McDonald of back then was like, he haunted every person's dreams. He was a scary looking Ronald McDonald. Not that the newer one's any better.
You know, he's been gone for like 10 years now. There's been no Ronald McDonald for like over a decade.
Did he get canceled?
It's due to the T-virus.
The T-virus took
him away. God, can you imagine a Ronald McDonald zombie?
I'm surprised he wasn't in this.
They needed all the help they could get. They probably should have got him in here.
Oh, follow my nose. Wait, is that... No, that's the Fruit Loops bird.
Yeah.
What was Ronald McDonald's catchphrase?
No, it was follow my nose.
I don't know why I thought of that one.
I thought it was ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No, he never said ba da ba ba ba. I don't think Ronald McDonald had a catchphrase.
I feel like he did, but I think you're right, Kevin. I don't think he did have a catchphrase.
I don't think so. Wasn't he a mime? He didn't say much of anything, did he? So did you guys want to start talking about the movie? We sort of talked about games, but there's nothing to do with games. This is just a movie, as we said, standalone completely. So let's talk about this piece of crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'll set the premise. In 2007, this movie came out. 2005, Resident Evil 4 came out. There's a bunch of other games that, like, spin-off games that kind of came out in between. Resident Evil Deadly Silence, which is a DS port of a different game. There are some Resident Evil Code Veronica references in this game, like the reference to, like, the cloned mansion that's also in Code Veronica. But in all actuality, like Kevin said, this movie is a huge departure from any thing in the series. Claire Redfield is not Ally Leiter at all.
Don't even get me started.
It's a real weird casting choice. It's kind of an empty movie, in my opinion. Let's start talking about the actual terrible fucking movie.
The film was not screened for critics.
Show.
I think there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was screened for anybody.
Shouldn't have been. Did this movie, I didn't look up, did this movie make its budget?
It made $147 million in the box office.
What?
That's too much.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Mm-hmm. It made a stupid amount of money.
That is just... And all it is the name. The name, Resident
Pretty
Evil.
Pretty much.
It's awful. It's a sad thing that you can make a movie this bad and it makes that much money.
Yeah, and going on the whole Claire Redfield thing, the only character, oh, never mind Carlos, but only one of the only characters from the games that's actually in this movie, and they pick Ally Leiter in nothing against her, but it was not a good performance at all. It was like one of the most emotionless things I've ever seen, just so monotone, and Claire was definitely not like that.
No.
I haven't seen the new one. I'm curious to see how that goes, but I have no idea how that is just yet. But either way, this just was not... It was round, bowl, square peg, basically.
I also think Ally Leiter is probably one of the worst actresses that I've just seen in a long time. She's a very, like, pretty woman, but she is also just, like, put in roles that are, I think, a little bit above what she's capable of, and I feel terrible saying that, but like, do you remember her in Heroes? Like, she was not great in Heroes. She was not bad, but she was not great.
Better than this movie.
Yeah. She was awful in this
movie. At least, like, remember her character from Heroes.
Yeah, the lady with the split personality. But like, in most other movies, she's like kind of forgettable. It's the same thing here. And I'm pretty sure she survives throughout the next three movies. Like, I think she's in the last chapter of these Resident Evil ones, which, by the way, we got two more coming up.
Wait, so. wasn't Jill in the last one?
Yeah.
What happened to Jill? Did they say anything? Because, like, well, she was at the end of the movie, and she breaks Alice what? Out. Doesn't she break her out at the end?
Of this movie?
No, at the end of the previous movie. At the end of the previous movie, she gets taken by Jorah Mormont and interrogated or something weird. Then they break her out.
Yep.
And Carlos, I think, is with them, right? And LJ. And for some reason, I don't know where Jill went. Because Jill was there, too.
I think I read something that the actress was filming Aragon or something like that. So there was a conflict, so they just wrote her out of this
movie.
Yeah,
that's a better choice.
There was a movie for Aragon?
Yeah, I don't think it did well.
They were supposed to be like the next Lord of the Rings, but I think the book was big, and then the movie was supposed to be like huge, and it flopped, and that was the end of Aragon. Gone. Aragon.
It's hard to beat Lord of the Rings, jeez. That's a tall order there.
I mean, it sounds like a character from Lord of the Rings, Aragorn.
Well, they clearly stole that from...
Yeah. But Aragon's dragon just with the letter E instead of a D.
Oh, I hate it.
It's one letter away from dragon.
I remember that. I remember when that book was big, and then it just, like, faded away.
I don't remember reading that book, but I hear it's, like, pretty decent, the book itself. But the movie, just trash.
Hmm.
What was it about this time in movies? Like, this is, like, bad for blockbusters. Do you remember any good blockbusters coming out right around these times?
No, but this was the time of the writer's strike, so it could be that they didn't know how to write, and they didn't have any writers, because they were striking, because it was the writer's strike.
The only good movie I could think of during this time, which didn't really require a lot of writers, was Borat.
Well, that's easy. I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen, I think, wrote that anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think they just hired Carrot Top.
Definitely. Okay, so here's a perfect example. Popular 2007 blockbusters. Shrek the Third.
Nice.
The B-movie.
Mm-hmm.
I Am Legend. Rush Hour 3.
Oh, Rush Hour 3 was
National
awful.
Treasure. P.S. I Love You.
Ugh, I've never seen it, but I imagine it's bad. Wait, is that the one where Gerard Butler's dead?
Spoiler alert, everybody.
You just totally spoiled P.S. I Love You.
I have to have a disclaimer at the beginning.
So. Way to go.
We spoiled a 15-year-old movie.
The Golden Compass.
Oh, Golden Compass came out in 2007? Really?
Huh. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that came out like 2 years ago.
Nope.
That's weird. So back to this awful movie. When the movie started, I first expected them to say, "I am Alice," which I was deeply disappointed that that didn't happen.
Me too.
And secondly, I had to check about 10 times to make sure I had the right movie in, because I was
Me
like,
too.
Is this the first movie? I know that's what they were sort of trying to go for, but it went for way too frickin' long. And I'm like, is this a flashback? What the hell is happening? Oh, it's not a flashback. This person's a clone. But it took like, I think it took like 10 minutes to get there. And
yep,
way too frickin' long. I hated it.
There was a lot of things in this movie. They just was like 10 minutes of nothing. That would happen.
And I don't know what they were doing. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do with this Alice. I know they were trying to, like, perfect this, find a perfect Alice clone. But I don't understand why they thought it was necessary to have her start in this cloned version of a mansion and have to sort of walk through everything exactly the same. I don't understand it. And I also don't remember her being in that scene where the laser came, and I don't know if she was in that scene in the beginning one, so I have no idea.
I was thinking that too. I don't think she was.
I don't think she was there, so her flashing back to remembering the laser scene made almost zero sense, because I thought it was just like the Marines or the STARS team that were getting killed.
Also, I don't necessarily remember. I remember a lot of that first movie, but I don't remember her like unlocking her powers in the mansion. Did she unlock her powers in the mansion? Is that what Like,
no.
Was she telekinetic and, like, super strong in the mansion at that point?
No. No.
In the first movie? So what are they trying to do there? Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what the hell were they trying to accomplish with this whole thing? Other than confusing people or wasting 10 minutes of footage just copying from the original movie. I don't understand it. Maybe they were trying to save money. Yeah, it could be.
Oh, I had to check to make sure this wasn't PG-13 because we see her naked in the shower in the beginning. But unlike the first film, there are no nipples. So I'm like, did they turn this to a PG-13 and get rid of all the nudity? That's one thing. There's no, you don't see her nipples at all in this film. So they cut down the nudity significantly.
Is it PG-13?
It's R.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
Once I saw like all the blood, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely an R-rated movie. But yeah. They definitely cut down on the
nudity. Does blood matter with R?
Yeah, for it's if there's like decapitation or just blood shooting out, it has to be R. But
gory.
Like a little bit of blood is fine, but for a PG-13, but
not excessive goriness.
Yeah, this is way too gory for a PG-13.
You know. Well, you know what? She was a clone. So she had the Kyle XY thing, so that's why her nipples were gone.
There you go. Yep. No belly button.
So one thing I wanted to mention, which I don't understand at all. So this entire planet is, like, barren now. First of all, I don't understand why tons of zombies being around causes the entire planet to become a desert. I don't understand that.
Zombies equal global warming.
Global warming, because there's so many zombies.
There's the environmental message right there.
I'm trying to put myself in the mind of the creator of this piece of shit.
And then the other thing is, there was like 1,000 zombies surrounding this place that had just a wire fence around it. And these zombies could not enter. Yet somehow, these zombies were able to pretty much take over the entire world, but they were blocked by a fence.
What amounts to a playground fence. Like, that's a fence that you put around a playground, essentially.
And every time they showed that area, they were showing zombies, like, getting closer, but every time they went back to showing that area, it was the same amount of zombies, and there were still zombies walking.
Walking towards, yeah.
They never ever made it. They just kept walking, but that no more zombies grouped up. I think they just took the same shot and kept showing it over and over again.
So were the zombies coming because they just kept throwing out, like, used up Lilo Dallas's? Like, is that what they were? That's what they were doing, was just throwing out Lilo Dallas's, and the zombies were, like, attracted to it.
They could smell her from miles and miles and miles away.
Could be.
Yeah, because if that's the case, there's like an easy solution to like keep the zombies away, which is just like burn the bodies, right? And then you don't have zombies around your fucking like high security facility. But instead they're like just throwing them like fully intact and all out into the blazing hot sun in like what amounts to a half pipe for like skateboarders. Just they're throwing them there and they're like, all right, keep going. Like, what a stupid design for getting rid of bodies.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Their plan was also kind of weird. They wanted to cure the T virus to an extent to where the zombies gained some sort of intelligence, and then they would have just enough intelligence to be subordinate to where they would farm the land, which apparently was barren. So I don't understand what their whole plan was there. Like, what the movie told me was that humans need to be coherent for all of nature to survive.
Yeah.
And because there were so many zombies who wanted to eat meat, there was no vegetation on the planet.
100%.
I don't understand. It's such... I hate it. The second movie just was so much better because it didn't do any of that. And it made a lot more sense.
And there's just like a giant... I'm just going to hold off because I think I'm going to rip this whole movie a new one. But there's a whole convoy of idiots who are driving like... uber-chugging, gas-guzzling vehicles, right?
With flamethrowers on them.
Yeah! Like, what are you doing, man? It doesn't make any sense.
This convoy... I'm going to say this entire convoy has about as much personality as, like, a box of, like, Walmart brand cornflakes. Like, everybody sucks.
Yeah.
Like, no one has any... Except for LJ's... As much as he has his stupid jokes, he has the most personality out of anybody in this convoy. And did you notice Johnny Cage is in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lyndon Ashby. He plays the cowboy guy who... That's his personality. He's a cowboy, and he has a southern accent, and that's about it. That's all I can say about him. He talks like this, and that's it. He doesn't even have any quips or any clever lines. He just has a drawl and a twang to his voice. That's
yeah.
It.
And then there's great value Dave Grohl, who drives the fucking school bus, who is just, like, the worst actor. Like, oh my God. That man, as soon as he died, I was like, all right, this movie is a little bit better. It went from, like, a 3 to a 4 right then. Ugh.
I feel like so many characters in this movie, I'm asking, it's almost like in Letterkenny when the hockey players show up. Wayne's like, what's your fucking name? Like, I just don't remember anyone's name.
That's yeah. How I felt, too.
There are so many characters just kind of show up, and they don't even have any lines. Like, there's this Dennis the Menace kid who is just, you just see him every few minutes. Doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. I think he's the only kid in the group.
And then you have Large Marge, who, like, has that little baby
wrapped up thing. Oh, my God, yeah.
Like a garbage truck. Dropped off the Empire State Building.
It's funny, actually, Lacey walked in the room and she's like, is that Mad-Eye Moody? And that's funny because I wrote in my notes that it was Mama Fratelli.
State of the right!
So, yep, so many nicknames for this woman.
All I could think of was Large
Moody. Yeah, I like it. All very good.
Mad-Eye Moody. We didn't even talk about what amounts to, like, the most famous person at the time in this movie, which is fucking Ashanti. What the hell is Ashanti doing in this goddamn movie?
Yeah, and they kill her after 5 minutes. Yeah.
Why the fuck is she here? It doesn't even make any sense.
You know how you know she was going to die? Because she says, we'll have dinner later at my place.
Yeah.
It's like, she, no, you're not, because you're going to die. That's just a you're going to die line right there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, I'm going to retire from the police force. Mm-hmm. That type of line.
And then... the best naming convention in any movie, just real great. There's a little girl named Kmart, which, free advertising there. I don't know. I mean, that whole convoy is just crap. And, like, how do they find all these, like, douchebags to, like, make up the movie? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Great value Dave Grohl is the bus driver, and then you have, like, you know, cowboy... Johnny Cage is, like, doing some stupid shit. Ashanti's driving the medic van, like the ambulance. And it doesn't make any sense. What the fuck?
What are they doing? What were they doing anyway? Did they ever explain what the hell this convoy was doing?
No, I had that same question. I had no idea where they were going.
I thought maybe it was because I walked out of the room once and then I was like, oh, I must have missed what the hell this convoy was supposed to do.
I think eventually they're like, oh, let's go to Alaska. I'm like, okay, cool, Alaska.
They did say Alaska at one point, and I remember, I think it was Carlos, he said... she said, you gotta stop giving them pipe dreams. And he's like, I think that's what they need right now. Yeah, they need a pipe dream.
You know, the quickest way to Alaska is through Salt Lake City.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's just the quickest way to get there. Just go straight through the desert to get to Alaska.
I'll give this movie some credit. The Vegas covered in sand looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
So, there were a couple things that I liked. Well... I guess one other thing that I liked, and that was the dogs. I think they did a pretty good improvement on the way that the dogs looked. I didn't think they looked like they were CG. They kind of looked practical somehow, which made them look more real. In the previous movies, they were like blobs.
Nothing moves the blob!
Yeah.
Awful, but they did improve that.
I would agree with you on that, although that scene was shot like a 4-year-old had the camera. I could not understand what the hell she was doing. She kept like grabbing these wires, and then the camera would just be like, all right, and now shake as fast as you can. And then they were like, okay, great. And then they like would tie it up, and then Lilu Dallas would stand there and it's like one dog down, and then shake the camera a bunch, and then two dogs down, and she'd do the same pose. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only scene that I was actually kind of okay with, even though I agree with you, like, the camera work needed work. It was bad. But, yeah, that was a pretty good scene. I did like when Lilu kicked that one guy right in the face, just killed him. One kick, that was pretty good. It's a good, strong kick. And I liked those weird, like, troll people who... were trying to jump her. I thought that was interesting. It added somewhat of an interesting dynamic. But
it looked like the Raiders from Fallout games.
It did. Yeah. Yes, they definitely reminded me of that. That was an interesting scene. That was an interesting dynamic. Even though I guess that's like, I don't know, post-apocalyptic 101. You add some people who are just there to attack people.
Yeah, it's like Mad Max. Like, there's just so much when they were writing this film, they were like, all right, what did they do in Road Warrior? Yeah, let's put that in there.
Totally. Yeah. That's it.
I do want to mention something about the music. So the music, to me, sounded like it was stolen from 007 GoldenEye for N64. Because I could have swore, I had just recently played that game, and the music sounded exactly from that freaking thing, and it's way different from the previous two movies. I don't know why they like redo the music every single time, but this music was probably some of the worst.
This music sounded like it was from the late 90s, and this is 2007.
It's
forgettable.
Do you remember the last song and like the song they played over the credits? It was the cover of the White Rabbit song.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was like this. It was. Like, that genre, that music that was popular then, that, like, industrial, like, goth music.
Yeah.
It's like something you hear in Hot Topic. Like, if this song were a person, it would wear trip pants with a long chain dangling over one pocket. You're wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt with eyeliner. Yeah. That was the song.
The guy who was the, like, composer for this movie also did all of the Saw movies. So it sounded just like some, like, bullshit Saw movie to me.
Mm.
Just terrible. I agree. There's at some points where I forgot that I was watching a blockbuster movie because this felt like it was from Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh,
like,
no doubt.
There are points that I was like, oh, this is a Sci-Fi Channel original movie from 2007, Resident Evil. Here we go, right? I was just waiting for, you know, some, like, douchebag from Supernatural to show up every once in a while. Like, it was straight out of that.
And I think the difference is the sci-fi movies, if they're bad, like, no one cares.
Right.
You don't expect it to be good. Yeah. Like, yeah. If anything, you might get a laugh out of it, but, because there's a lot of B actors in those. But, like, this is one who has more, probably, A-list people, and it's just, it's one that you, by name alone, would be expected to be infinitely better than what it is.
Yeah, I completely agree. One part that made it feel like very much like a sci-fi movie was when she blew up all the birds. She has these infinite magical powers, and then at one point she blows up all the birds, and the flames looked like they weren't even part of the scene. They looked like they were like part of a completely different movie, and they were just like cut in there. It literally, like, the scene came from the movie The Birds, and it literally looked like it came from the movie The Birds, because it was looked like an effect from the 50s.
It was like Birdemic.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it scared the crap out of me, because I hate birds.
There was, like, a jump scare with one of the birds, like, it, like that bird in Citizen Kane, where it just screams at the camera.
Yeah.
Like the time his wife left.
That did make me jump. That was the one part that made me jump, was that stupid bird.
There was the zombie in the beginning, too. They just started making the Tasmanian devil sound. That came out of nowhere. That was kind of good jump scare right there.
Yeah, they had some good jump scares in this
The
movie.
Birds were a good callback to the first movie, where, like, she walks outside the mansion and you see the birds, like, swirling.
That's
so
true.
So I was like, oh, okay. They kind of, like, tried to incorporate the first movie, and then just jumped the shark immediately. Like, there's no subtlety in this movie, as opposed to the first movie, where there's just, like, you know, sometimes it's going to be playful and subtle. This movie is like, fuck subtlety. Like, we're going to put a million birds on telephone wires and shit, and, like, here we go. It's so dumb. And why are they shooting at them? They're just, like, they're not even shooting directly at the birds. They're just, like, turning their guns sideways and, like, firing in the air. There's a million birds. Like, aim, motherfucker. It's so dumb. Ugh.
When did Alice get her powers? Because in this movie, they did a scene where she's, like, making rocks hover. And I literally thought they just took that from Star Wars.
You didn't see where R2 was floating up?
Yeah. That's what I pictured. And I'm like, what, is she like a Jedi now? What is happening with this shit?
She's totally a Jedi.
Ugh. But she's like way better than a Jedi because she can blow things up with her mind, randomly catch birds on fire. I don't even know what she did there. She can look at a satellite thousands of miles away and just pop something in it.
Yeah.
She's like Mewtwo.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, I don't know how much stronger they can make this Alice character. She is she's practically a god in this movie.
Yeah. Although she was having an issue with some of those cave-dwelling people. She was having a hard time with them.
Yeah, she almost got killed by them. And yet she's able to just, like, snap her fingers and burn some birds in the sky. I mean, crazy.
Did she realize what her powers were when she fell asleep in the Star Wars scene? Because I feel like after that scene, she became a lot more powerful.
Yeah, I wish that's how everyone's magical powers appeared. They fall asleep, suddenly they wake up and they know how to use all of their powers.
She unlocked her true potential at that moment.
Just had to take a nap. Sleep on it. That's what they say. If you need to learn something, just sleep on it.
Speaking of which, sleeping. So, what's his name? LJ goes into this room to, like, check out some stuff. And he's, like, I think pretty horny or something. I don't know what's going on with him.
He's always fucking.
Yeah, I guess he was, like, trying to look for some, like, zombie action or whatever. I don't know. But he goes into this bedroom, and then the one dude attacks him. One zombie guy attacks him.
Oh, Arnold? That zombie looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, didn't
he? 100%. And then... He goes and he shoots the other zombie in the mirror. But if you look at the scene, I'm pretty sure that the angle that he's shooting, he could have totally seen himself in the mirror, too. So he, like, just shoots at himself in the mirror because he's an idiot.
I'm shooting in the man in the mirror.
Perfect. And then he, like, got bit by this other zombie. And then, you know, Carlos comes in and shoots it up. All I have to say about this is, he must have cleared out buildings before. What a dumb dude for not clearing out the building correctly. It's like,
yeah.
Zombie 101. Look over everywhere and then sit on a bed and relax. What are you doing? Idiot.
It's like he's never been in a zombie apocalypse before. Come on, guy.
You just went through one whole movie, dude. Come on.
I feel like LJ, after every line, I'm just expecting, like, a laugh track to play.
Yeah.
Because he walks into that room, he's like, oh, where's the jacuzzi? And there's like a pause where you do, you know, like Big Bang
yep.
Theory.
Boom, doom, 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 doom.
That would have made the movie a lot better. They should have just added a laugh track throughout the entire movie. That would have been great.
Just to his lines only.
Totally. Yeah, fine. Porking beans, man. They lethal. I don't see how your cowboys do it.
And of course, LJ gets bit. And then it's like, I don't know if I missed something, but I feel like after he's bit, like, clearly the guy is messed up. Pale, he's droopy. And no, and like that cowboy dude's in the car with him, he's like this close to turning. And the cowboy dude, whatever the fuck his name is like not questioning at all, like, you okay or anything like that. He's just talking to him like he's just fine, and he's dying on the spot.
You're all right there, partner. You don't look so good. I was in Mortal Kombat. I played Johnny Cage.
Isn't also the implication that, like, Ashanti slept with LJ in the back of the, like, ambulance? So wouldn't she have seen this, like, pussing, oozing bite mark on her chest? Like, what's going on?
The lights were off.
I guess so.
He He just covers it up with something.
Plus my tattoo.
Yeah, he's got a tattoo.
So we have to talk about the worst part of this movie, which is Jorah Mormont, Ian Glenn's character, Dr. Isaac.
Yeah,
I think he may be in competition of being the worst villain. His competition is the villain from Tomb Raider, who is also played by him.
Oh, I was going to say, wasn't that him?
Yeah.
No, I was also going to say the guy from DOA also is probably the worst villain in any of these movies.
I agree with you. Yeah,
he sucks too.
He may be the worst, the guy from DOA. But I mean, he brings this villain is just, he's the precursor to like every Marvel movie villain. Evil, rich, powerful guy in suit who has no redeeming quality whatsoever. He's pure evil and his only motivation is power.
No, just zero understanding of what a evil plan is too. Just like, his evil plan makes no sense. I am going to clone a million of these Alices, put them in giant sphere-looking balls that operate like a massive warehouse. I'm going to have them go through a mouse maze that is pretty much the same replication. Oh, and also, I got to order custom-made dresses for each of these Alices because they're all like form-fitted red dresses that it has to go through.
Yeah, it's like one of those closets, like in a cartoon. You know, like Doug Funny's closet? It's like all his outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 20 versions of the same outfit. Yeah. That's what they do with Alice.
Yet he can't plan how to not get shredded by those lasers somehow.
Yeah, it must take... If he doesn't order them, because there's obviously everybody's dead in the world, so he must have like a staff of like 40 people just 24/7 making red dresses. That's all they're doing. Just making red dresses down there. Like, oh, we need more satin. Let's get the satin and double up.
That's why he wanted to cure the zombies, so he could make them subordinate. And there's a bunch of zombies just making dresses.
There we go, Kevin. It's just a bunch of zombies making dresses. Perfect.
That's it. You know what I'm picturing? You know that scene in Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when Veruca Salt's dad has all those people working? Like,
yes, the peanuts.
I just imagine that just with zombies making red dresses.
So maybe I missed this, and I never played Code Veronica, but it is creepy as hell that the AI is a little girl. Is there a reason why the AI is a little girl in a white dress?
I think they go over it more like in the very last movie.
Okay, maybe they realize they're like, this is super creepy. We have to explain why the AI
I think it's dumber. I think it's even dumber than that.
Oh, geez. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it just creeps the hell out of me. Like, if you were to make an AI, would you make it some creepy little girl?
Well, I think it's originally supposed to be based off of, like, the one dude's daughter, right? From the first movie or the second movie. It's like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like Ashford's daughter. Yeah. And
but did Ashford make that system? Is that what it's supposed to be believed?
I don't know, man. It's a great question.
I don't know. Creeps the shit out of me, that little girl. And the fact that they kept it like that.
There's one more thing I want to talk about. It was a good concept, was they try to train the zombies to... They try to like increase their intelligence. So they kind of start training them. Jorah Mormont has his doctors, his scientists, training this zombie, kind of like a chimpanzee. They give it like a child's toy where you put like the star in the hole, the square in the square hole. But it was actually pretty funny because the zombie got pissed off because he couldn't get the star in like the square hole. So he like, throws the toy across the room. And then he starts eating the doctors, but Jorah Mormont just locks the doctors in to allow them to be eaten. And I'm like, why? Why you need these guys? Yeah. Like, it's because he's a bad guy and he needs to do bad guy things. Stupid.
That's one less person to sew the dresses, right?
Yeah. Like,
what are you doing?
And where are you going to get doctors? Like, there are not many people left in the world. They're very highly qualified people, and you just killed them. You could have just easily opened the door and not let them die.
Oh, yeah. It was very stupid. That makes that villain 10 times worse just because of his motives are just stupid. There's nothing smart about his motives. And why does he turn into, like, that weird zombie. Does he have like something injected in him that makes him turn into a super zombie, or is that just as lucky?
I think he overloaded on antidotes. Like, you just see a pile of these vials. I think he just went crazy and injected himself with a bunch of them.
And that turned him
into I think the concept was like it mutates. It's stupid, but it was like the concept. It just mutates from there.
Like I said, precursor to every Marvel movie villain right there. I think that happened in the Hulk movie. I think that happened in Iron Man.
Did Nemesis die?
I'm pretty sure there was a lot of rockets that just went right after it.
Okay. I couldn't remember if freaking, what is it, Mrs. Doubtfire got blown away.
Dad?
Oh. I laugh, but that movie was so much better than this one. Just like infinitely better than this one. Stars!
But no, the Resident Evil 2, what was that called? Annihilation?
Apocalypse.
Yeah, Apocalypse.
It is Apocalypse? Oh, okay.
So I have a question. I may have missed something. At some point in the movie, all the zombies look like a bald Christopher Lloyd, and they're all wearing blue jumpsuits. Why did that happen? Did they clone some other person?
No, Christopher Lloyd.
They're all supposed to be the zombies that Dr. whatever his name, Dr. Generic.
Dr. Yeah, Isaac?
Dr. Isaac's like...
Dr. Mormont.
Dr. Mormont.
He's testing them, and so... All of those zombies are part of his, like, testing group. So, I don't know.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. And they all escape. One of those zombies bites him.
I don't think this guy has much of an acting range, this Jorah Mormont guy. He literally plays the same exact character. Like, in Game of Thrones, despite him not being a villain, he's a creepy motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
he's like 40 years old, and Daenerys is like 16. He's a creepy asshole.
And he sold slaves. So.
And in every single one of these movies, he's also a creepy guy. That's it. That's like his whole claim to fame. Because I think in Tomb Raider, he was pretty creepy too.
At least in Game of Thrones, they develop his character more. You're like, yeah, this guy's creepy, he sucks because he did sell slaves, but then he does have, you know, this sense of justice.
That's true.
So you like him, but yeah, in this movie there's just nothing to him. It's, if you have a one-dimensional villain, you have to make them like zany or insane, kind of like the Joker, or like in Game of Thrones, Ramsay Bolton, perfect example.
Or Bowser in Mario Bros.
Yeah, exactly. Like he was a villain that was pure evil, that didn't have any redeeming qualities, just pure bad guy, but at least he was fun.
Koopa. Yeah. Koopa, that was his name. His name wasn't Bowser.
King Koopa.
No, but he was good. Every single villain who has been over the top in these movies has been fantastic. Like, in Mortal Kombat, Annihilation, Shao Kahn, I mean, even though he was very lispy, he was over the top, and he was actually a pretty fun villain.
Yeah, I loved him.
Same with Boa Bobo or whatever his name was. Yeah.
And Shuko. Shuko was great too. I love Shuko and Double Dragon.
Yeah, Shuko was good.
Best one was like, Street Fighter and Bison.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was fantastic. It was a Tuesday.
Bison felt like he was doing the right thing though.
Yeah.
He really felt like he was the good guy.
There was the antagonist and chairman of the board.
Oh my god, he was fantastic.
good old Larry Miller.
Carrot Top was the villain of that movie. Let's just be honest here.
It's a valid point.
Does anybody have anything about the middle of the movie? Because I completely don't even know what the hell happened in the
middle. I was like falling asleep, and then there was like, we're going to Alaska.
That's all I remember is something. They're going to Alaska. I remember LJ dying, biting Carlos. Was that his name, Carlos? Mm-hmm.
Ardeth Bay.
All I remember from the Mummy. That's all I know. From.
Ashanti dies in the school bus in the most like unnecessary way possible. She closes the door behind her and then just stands there and like just gets eaten by crows. And then they show a picture of her face like sliding down the glass on the bus in the most hilarious fashion. And then Kmart hides underneath the bus and then gets chased by a crow, and Carlos grabs her, and then Lilu Dallas performs a Mewtwo and blocks all of the fire, and then there we go, and then lights all of the freaking crows on fire, and they all simultaneously make like the same scream, and then it was great.
I think in that scene, I'm pretty sure I heard a Wilhelm scream, but I wasn't too sure. I didn't rewind
probably
to find out, because I didn't care too much, but it was very faint. It was like in the background.
Then there was the scene where they were trying to control her. Did they inject something in her that I missed?
They just like turned on Alexa, and then she like stopped moving, and that was it.
Because they didn't explain that there was like something in her that, how were they controlling like, her?
Siri, stop Alice. Like, that was it. And then the freaking satellite stopped Alice, and then she's just like twitching, and that's it. And then somehow, through her magical powers, she communicated with a computer and shut the computer down.
I'm a computer.
Stop all the downloads.
There was a moment where I needed my tissues, because I was crying a little bit when Mikey died.
I don't even know who Mikey was.
Who's Mikey?
There's a scene where this guy, he was kind of just seen in the background. His name is Mikey, because after he was killed by the zombies, one of the girls is like, Mikey, no! Like, we're supposed to feel for Mikey. It's like, who the fuck is this guy?
What's that great value Dave Grohl?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, who was it?
He was like, he had long hair, he was just no memorable lines, I don't remember anything about him. Just
Mikey's the IT guy. That's who he was, the IT guy. The one who set up all the perimeter stuff, who, like, was looking at the computer. No. That's Mikey, okay.
Hey, Mikey! Oh, so it was heartfelt. Okay.
So what is Great Value Dave Grohl's character's name? What is his name in this?
Who knows?
I don't even know. Dave, totally, there we go.
I'm gonna call him Soup Guy just because he somehow could guess what was in the tin cans by shaking. That was his superpower.
His soup power.
Worst superpower.
Boom,
ever.
Doug. That was great.
Another cool part, when Ardeth Bay, Carlos, when he dies, he blows up a truck and kills a bunch of zombies, but he's enjoying one last cigarette before he does so. And he just smiles and enjoys that cigarette. I thought that was... It was a cool shot, too, so I give them credit there.
Yeah, he was fine. You know, he was the only character that I was like, it's fine. Because he reminded me of the guy in The Mummy, because he is that guy.
Mm-hmm. So Joram Mormont, he has a line after he gets bitten. He's like, antivirus! Get me the antivirus! And it reminds me a lot of Robin Get the Shark Repellent from the Batman movie. And another thing I want to mention is when Joram Mormont turns into the Abomination Hulk character with Wolverine healing powers... He speaks normally to Alice. He's just like, I can't die, in his normal voice. Or, I can't die, whatever he says.
I'm immortal.
Like, when she throws him through the wall, he's like, I can't die. He sounds like Kevin McAllister's talk boy from Home Alone 2. Like, why did his voice change?
Such a bad boss fight.
Oh my god, that was a terrible boss fight.
And he also, he does the thing that I hate, which is, he's like, if he's human... And he has his full cognition. Why is he, like, roaring like a lion? Roar! Then goes and does the... Roar! Ugh.
Because he's turning into a freaking Power Rangers villain, where they just shout every so often.
This is a tangent, but did you guys ever see the first Transformers movie? So, when they wake up Megatron... The first thing Megatron ever says, he's been asleep for like thousands of years. The first thing that he says is, I am Megatron. Why the fuck would you ever say that? Oh, it's the same thing as this. Like, what the fuck?
It is.
I mean, Lilu said, I am Alice. I mean, that was like the first thing she said, so.
I guess you just gotta like yell your name when you've been asleep.
I am Alice.
That's what I'm gonna do every morning when I wake up. I am Paul. Anyway, yeah, that boss battle was just the worst. And what did they make this like fake mansion out of? Was it just particle board? Because they just fly through this thing just so easily.
Well, here's the other weird thing. They make this whole mansion, and then they make this one other piece of it, which is this laser beam that seems to be able to cut anybody up. That's all they made of this mansion. And clearly, they made that laser beam portion just to kill the boss at the end. And that's literally the only reason they made the stinking thing. It was stupid. I just don't understand what the whole point of the copy of the whole mansion was all about. But maybe they explain it in a later movie.
I mean, I'm shaking my head. Nobody can see it. But I have no idea what's going on in most of this scene. Like, the red little girl, whatever, says to her, like, oh, you got to go down and kill the dude. And then so she goes down and, like, tries to go down and kill the dude. But what she has is, like, what amounts to Nathan Drake equipment, right? She's got, like, two, like, Bowie knives, two guns, and, like, her wits. And she's just nothing else against this giant tyrant thing. And she holds her own for it, but it's just so boring. You would expect this, like, big fight would be fun, but I guess, I don't know, nothing in this movie has ever been good. So why would the end battle be good either? I don't know.
The more I think about the movie, the more I dislike it.
I have to ask you guys, where does it fit on our scale of movies? Like, it's not the worst, obviously not the best. Where do you think it fits between with the movies we've talked about?
I'm going to say it was the worst.
Yeah, it's heading towards chairman of the board level bad. Like, I'm thinking repeatedly this the whole time it's on, this is dumb. Like, I'm saying that over and over in my head.
At least with chairman of the board, I at least remember things from that movie. Like, this, after...
True.
When we release this episode, I'm going to listen to it and be like, oh, I forgot I even watched that.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I actually think it's the worst. Before I thought it was, like, better than a few of the movies that we've watched, but because it's so forgettable and there's absolutely nothing fun about this movie, I gotta say it's the worst.
I don't think it's as bad.
I also don't think it's as bad as Tomb Raider.
I think it's worse than Tomb Raider, because at least Tomb Raider, there was something funny at times that we could actually talk about, but this movie, it's so forgettable that you don't even really have anything to talk about. It's so
bad. I think this is better than Tomb Raider, and I still think Doom was one of the worst movies we watched. Doom is better than this, in my opinion. I think Doom is real bad, and it's pretty close to this. So is Blood Rain. Blood Rain was terrible as well, but this is pretty low on the list.
Yeah, I wrote a page of notes. Usually I can get to at least two, no problem. It was a page, and I was, like, struggling to get to it.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, those other movies, Tomb Raider, I had, like, four pages. But it's not a good movie. And probably this movie's better than Tomb Raider. But at least I enjoyed watching Tomb Raider a little bit more than I liked watching this movie. I couldn't even pay attention to this movie. That's how awful it was.
Yeah, and it's not like it's real bad like DOA, right? Like, DOA was just, like, a bad movie, right? But it was still enjoyable. This had no real redeeming qualities. The movie was just, like, the same color palette most of the time. The music was very bland and boring. Like, it was not a great movie.
DOA, at least, was trying to be fun, right?
DOA was good. The first hour of DOA was good. Then the end was just a complete mess with
Eric Roberts.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That was the problem with DOA. But I watched that movie again while I just played it in the background because it happened to be on Pluto TV. But it was actually more enjoyable this time.
I would say that this is either the worst or the second to worst movie that we've seen here. I mean, it's still not... I would still say Tomb Raider is worse.
I mean, subjectively, I think Tomb Raider is a worse movie. I would agree. I don't know. There's some bad movies I enjoy more. I gotta say, I enjoy Tomb Raider much more than this piece of crap. I will never watch this movie again. And if I do, I'll watch like 5 minutes of it and walk.
There are parts in Alone in the Dark where I'm like, all right, this movie is terrible and it's really poorly written and poorly shot, but it's so bad it's good at times. This movie is just like in the uncanny valley of like really, really bad and just consistently bad. It's just consistently bad. I don't know how to describe it.
Alone in the Dark was just so fun to talk about because there's so many questionable scenes in that. I think that was the movie with the scene where the IT guy just says "Leave me alone" to a guy who walks away like, after like 5 minutes of being off the screen.
Yeah, Tara Reid's like, "I thought you were dead, asshole!" Like, just like, just great stupid scenes.
That's in our intro.
Yeah, same with Blood Rain.
Yeah,
Blood Rain had a few just great stupid scenes. In this movie, did not have any of that.
Yeah, nothing.
In the previous movies, did. Like, we had a lot to talk about in those other movies. It was definitely more enjoyable. I hated this movie. And hopefully the next one isn't as bad as this stinker of a movie. Ex-stinker.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad. Not great, but not as bad.
You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to check out what our next movie is.
You don't want
to
look, quick. Doug. It's bad. It's Postal.
Postal.
We're going to take everything we said.
Totally.
I've never seen that movie. Have you guys seen
it? Oh, yeah.
Never even heard of it.
I've only heard it's terrible and offensive.
Well, it's a terrible game and also a offensive game as well. So I don't see much hope for the actual.
Also, J. Jonah Jameson is in this movie coming up.
Oh my God! Well, that makes it 10 times better.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man.
I love that guy.
I know it stars Scott Farkas from Christmas Story. That actor, he's the main character.
J. Jonah Jameson's in it. That's awesome. I don't know. Now I'm excited to watch the movie. He's like one of my favorite actors.
I believe is it an Uwe Boll movie?
Yep.
So get ready for that. I think I watched the trailer for this film while we were doing our research on future movies, and yeah, it does not look good.
I'm pretty sure every other movie that we're going to be watching is going to be an Uwe Boll movie. It's unfortunate.
Well, Ben, I wish you joined us on a better movie because this was a real stinker. This might actually be one of our shortest podcasts.
Yeah, not a lot to say on it.
Yeah, there's nothing to say. It's awful.
Let me just, in advance, before this is published, apologize to Allie Leiter, because she is not great in this movie, but she is not as terrible as I remember. She's still not a great actress, but she's not as terrible as I remember. I now like looked up some of her stuff, and I was like, oh, she wasn't that bad, but...
Oh, I was going to say, how did your opinion change like from the beginning of this episode?
I looked up some more stuff, and I was like, all right, yeah, she's not terrible.
Not as bad
she
as
just
Tara
chose
Reed.
Some really no, absolutely not. No way.
Anything else we have to say about this stinky movie?
Absolutely not.
Nope. So that does it for this episode of Reset Rewind, Resident Evil, Extinction. You can follow us on Instagram. We also have an email at resetandrewindpodcast@gmail.com. Also, like and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. How do I end this one? I don't even know.
That's a good ending.
I wish this movie was extinct. It's the best I can come up
with. It's on par with the writing for this movie, Doug, so that's pretty good.
It stinks.